Mark chapter 14 this morning. Mark chapter 14. We'll be looking at the first nine verses of Mark chapter 14. On Sunday, March the 28th, we'll be taking up a love offering for the Hands of Hope Christians in Action. So those folks can go ahead and start getting some of those food boxes prepared and knowing what they can do in the meantime. There's going to be a need of volunteers to help with clothes closets, handing out those food boxes and other things. Brother Jay is going to meetings about that every Thursday night. If you'd like to go with him or if you have any questions you'd like to ask concerning that, speak to Brother Jay Batson. I'm sure that he's got all the information that you'd need, and he would greatly appreciate any kind of assistance that you could render to him. I'm sure he'd appreciate that. Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9, the Bible says, "And after 2 days was the feast of the Passover." So Jesus Christ, at this point that we're looking at this message this morning, is 48 hours away from His death. 48 hours. "So after two days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take Him by craft and put Him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying, and so verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her." She has done what she could. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning, for the blessings of this day. And God, I pray that as we go through this message, Father, that we might just examine ourselves, dear Father, and see if we're even on the same plane as this young lady by the name of Mary. God, it's hard to believe, Lord, that someone could do something like that for the Master, and there would be folks who would have something that would be negative to say about it. But God, such is the way that we treat the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. There are folks who think that we may go too far, and others who may think that we don't go far enough. Others who may believe that our belief systems, dear Father, are too rigid. But, dear Father, others who may believe that they're not quite rigid enough. But God, that is where your Holy Spirit comes in. He brings them to our hearts and our minds, dear Father, that level that we can do, dear Father, not whereby we may be the most comfortable, but, dear Father, doing those things that even if others may have things to say against us and may murmur against us and say that it can never be done, that, God, we can prove by our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, that all things can be done through Him who strengthens us. And now watch over us and bless us this morning. God, I pray if there's someone here this morning that has never been saved, that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that God, that will not be the case when they leave here, but instead, Lord, they'll know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Their names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and heaven will be that promised home for their eternity. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a true story of a Christian businessman who was traveling through South Korea, and as he was going there, he was going by similar fields, familiar fields. He had been to South Korea on several mission trips. As a matter of fact, it was something that after he and his wife had started to get a little bit older and had reached their semi-retirement age, that they just decided every year they go to South Korea. They loved those folks. Those folks were a blessing to them. They were burdened over that area. And so they were going to South Korea once again. And they were on familiar roads, going by familiar fields. And after several years, the faces were even becoming even more familiar. And as they were traveling by a field, they saw a field that was being worked by three brothers. Now, there was nothing unusual about going through South Korea and see people plowing a field or working a field, except but in this case. In this case, you had one brother who was reining the plow, and his two brothers were the ones who were yoked to the plow. And they were pulling it. That's not something you see very often, even in South Korea. And so the businessman assumed, and he recognized these brothers as being members of the local church where he was ministering at. And so he assumed that something had happened to the yoke of oxen, that either some sort of disease had taken place, or maybe someone had broken into their barn on the farm and they had stolen the cows or the oxen. So when he got to the church, the Christian businessman approached the pastor and asked him about the peculiar scene that he had witnessed. And the pastor said, no, there was nothing wrong with the yoke of oxen. There was a need here at the church, and the brothers felt burdened about doing what they could to meet that need. And so they sold the oxen, gave the money to the church, and now they pull the yoke and they plow themselves. And the businessman said, wow, that must be some sort of burden for them to work that field. That's a big field. And the pastor said they didn't consider it to be a burden to work the field. They considered it to be a blessing that they had the oxen to sell. And that remark, that picture stayed with that Christian businessman to the point that when he got back home, he took the picture and he took a picture of it. He took the picture that he had made and gave it to his pastor and told the pastor the story. And he said, pastor, I'm going to double what I'm giving to the church because I've just realized I've got some plow work that I've got to do. Up until now, he said, I've never given God anything that really involved my sacrifice. Jesus is 48 hours away from Calvary. And as he is on his journey to that place, here is a woman by the name of Mary, and we're going to look at it here in just the next few moments, who not 60 days before this scene had stood out on the hillsides of Bethany over in John chapter 11, mourning the death of her brother Lazarus. And as Jesus approached that city of Bethany where his friends lived, and as he saw the mourning and the weeping taking place because of the death of his dear friend, that Jesus went out on the hillside and called Lazarus out of the grave and restored that member who had died back into the family dynamic. It was important that Lazarus be there because Jesus knew that with Mary and Martha both being females and there not being any more men in the household, that unless something were done, not only to restore life, but to restore financial stability to that house, that his friends may wound up having had to sell everything that they had or losing everything they had just to make it, because ladies didn't work in those days like they work today, even anything close to comparison to what Lazarus could have done inside of the household. And here, 60 days later, she is again seated at the feet of the Master doing all that she could do for him. I want you to think about this. Have you done everything that you could for the Lord? Are you doing everything that you could for Him? Have we given all that there is to give? And as we look at this message this morning, we look at this passage, and we listen, that we search our hearts and notice that in Mary's life here, there were three areas that she met here as she did all that she could do. Number one was in the area of sacrifice in verses 3 and 4. Now, she took, and the Bible says here, and every time I see where it says that she took this box of alabaster ointment and broke the box and poured it on his head, I think about a history teacher that I had in high school. His name was Silas Harris. This man was, he was brick short of a full load. He was a nut, is what he was. And he always did things to capture the attention of the students. And he liked me and I liked him. We could pick at each other. And he was just one of those teachers that just about all the students got along with. And he came into the classroom and some young man was getting out of line and the young man said, well, just kind of challenged the teacher as far as his authority. And Mr. Harris said, I can handle you. He said, I can handle Campbell sitting there. Everybody called me Campbell. He said, I can handle Campbell sitting there. And the fellow's name that he was challenging was Jan Brewer. And Jan said, well, how are you going to handle him? Mr. Harris said, well, he said, well, I'll break this stick over his head. And I was thinking, I think, honestly, you should have worked this out with me first. And so, you know, I didn't know how he planned on going about breaking this so-called stick over the top of my head. I know what image I was getting on how he was going to break that stick over my head. And to be quite honest with you, it wasn't something that was pleasant to my mind. And so, and Jan says, you will not break that stick over his head. Mr. Harris said, I'm telling you right now, I'll break that stick over his head. He said, you will not. Mr. Harris said, what you want to bet? And I'm thinking, whoa, it's starting to get deep in here now. Okay, now you're getting ready to make money off of my pain. And so, and Jan reached in his pocket and he said, I just got paid yesterday, $5. And Mr. Harris said, okay. And so he stood over the top of me, walked up to me with that stick and drew it back like this, and I did this right here, and he stopped right here, and he took the stick and went, boop, look, broke it over his head, and he reached over and took the guy's $5. And so every time I see that story, I think about what Mr. Harris did, and he ate lunch for free that day. But that's not what happened here. So when you look at this container, there was something that was very expensive and costly here. See, the ointment was worth 300 pence. See, that's what they said right here. It said, why was this not sold in verse 5 for more than 300 pence? A pence in the scriptures was a day's wages. And so you're looking at here at 300 days worth of work. Now, I got online this morning and looked and made sure that I have my ducks in a row. But the average wage today, the median wage, if you take that of retirees getting Social Security, if you take that from those who are making the most amount of money in the United States of America, the average wage of every American today in the United States, according to the last reports that were taken, which were in 2006, is $24,325. And so when you take a year's wage and base it on what she did that day, if you were to do it today, it was just like that young lady took that box of alabaster and that ointment that was over his head and took $25,000 and broke it over the top of his head and anointed his body with it. 300 pence. She took this and provide it here. See, it was expensive, and many people saved for years to be able to provide for this, for their own funeral preparations. Now, this woman that we know is Mary, she's identified in John chapter 12. This passage is also shared in Matthew chapter 26, that she took this container and she broke it open and she poured it on the head of Jesus. Now, this may have been, again, the ointment that would have been used for her funeral. It may have been the ointment that she would have used a little bit later on in her brother's funeral. It may have been the ointment that was stuck back and saved for her sister Martha's funeral. We don't know. The Bible don't tell us specifically whose ointment it was. But we do know this, that she took this container, which was intended for burial, of something that was very precious, something that was very costly, and she took it and she broke it open and she poured it over the head of the Master. She did what she could do. She knew that it would draw attention. She knew that it would cause a spectacle. She knew that once the fragrance began to fill the house, that others from other rooms would come in and see what it was that she was doing. She did all that she could do. Folks, let me tell you something. When you start doing something for Jesus and you do all that you can do, People are going to notice it. They can't help but notice it. They'll come from other rooms to see what you're doing. They'll come from other places to see what you're doing. Why? Because it is something that you don't see every day. Someone doing all that they can for Jesus. The Bible says you're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. You have been bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're supposed to do all that we can do, for we are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. We are the ambassadors that are sent out throughout the four corners of the earth. There's the custom. When she broke that box, she just didn't take the box and break it. That box was sealed with wax. There was a string that went around the edge of it. And the reason it was sealed with wax is to keep the fragrance inside of it, make keep it fresh. That spikenard was imported from India, was very expensive, and had to stay fresh, because if it didn't, it would dry out and would ruin the ointment. And so it was sealed inside of wax, and then it had a string that went around it to where when it was time to open it, you took that string and you pulled it loose, and that broke the box open. It loosened that seal, and as soon as that string would begin to be pulled out, then the fragrance would begin to escape from that box. See, after the body had been deceased and had been washed and had been anointed, that box containing those embalming spices was opened up. It was broken, and those spices were poured over that body and was anointed and rubbed in that body so that it would keep the odor of the decomposition down. But then they would actually take that box, and then after the ointment had been opened up, break that box and leave it inside of the burial place so that it would continue to pour out that fragrance. But regardless of the reason of what Mary did what she did, one thing was perfectly clear. She gave all that she had to Jesus for His glory. I wonder how many of us here this morning have broken the alabaster box of our life and poured out ourselves every drop for Him. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 27 says, "And thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood, upon the altar of the Lord thy God, and the blood of thy sacrifices shall be poured out upon the altar of the Lord thy God." We're supposed to pour ourselves out of the altar just like Christ did and give it all that we've got. Because this lady did everything that she could. See the circumstances. Why was Mary doing this? You see, we don't know if it was out of gratefulness because of what Jesus had done for Lazarus. We don't know. We don't know if she did this because that the Holy Spirit had laid upon her heart that something spectacular and wonderful was going to be accomplished for her and for all of mankind in just 48 hours, and the Holy Spirit spoke to her specifically. We don't know. We don't know if this was because that her love for Jesus and her admiration for Jesus had grown to such a point that one day she just had this thought to come up in her mind and say, "Well, you know, Christ has done so much for me, and He's been such a blessing to me, and He's come to my home, and I've sat at His feet, and He has taught me, and He has loved me, and He has befriended me, and He has done so much for me, and I've done so little for Him, and I can do this." We don't know what the circumstances are, but we do know this. She didn't hold anything back. She didn't hold anything back. She gave it all. See, there's the area of sacrifice. And the second thing is the area of service. If you look down at verse 8, Jesus Himself said, "She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying." See, Jesus' statement regarding this sacrifice that Mary had presented on this day there in the household of Simon of Bethany, the leper, was summed up in the depth of her service to Him. This was not some little something. See, this is what you got to understand. This was not some little something. This was a big something. This would be like a father coming in to his wife after a Sunday message on maybe a commitment to Christian service, having a good job and a stable income and a steady household, and then all of a sudden coming in and setting his wife down at the kitchen table or maybe in a den or whatever it may be and say, honey, the Lord's laying on my heart to preach the gospel, and now I believe that I'm supposed to surrender that gospel work, and knowing that he's going to wind up leaving that job, knowing that he's going to wind up leaving that steady source of income, knowing that he's going to ask his children to leave their friends and their classmates and their schools and that stability, leaving it all and not even knowing where they're going. See, this was not some little something. This was big. This was big, what she did. See, this response was her expression of all that she possessed. See, there was many things that Mary couldn't do for Jesus. But Jesus said this is something that she could do. In anointing him, see, her service was absolute. It was without question what she had done. But as soon as she had finished doing it, if you look back up in verses 6 and 7, critics start shaking their heads and start wagging their tongues. And see, it makes it seem anonymous here that somebody said this, but see, Judas Iscariot, the one who held the money bag, says, why has this waste been done? Now I want you to look at the contrasting views of Jesus there. This woman had done this saying, this was all I could do and yet desired to do more. Here is Judas, who was one of the disciples who had walked with him and talked with him and lived with him and traveled with him for more than 3 years and is less than 48 hours away from betraying the Son of God into the hands of those who would crucify him. Look at what Mary said. Mary said, I wish I could do more. And Judas said, this was too much. Do you see the difference in the response here? In the area of service? That person who sold out to Jesus says, oh, I wish I could do more. But then there are others who have not just quite made up their minds on what they're going to do with Jesus says, I'm not even going to do that much. It's the difference in the response when you began to look at people. See, Mary did what she could. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that she had. She would never have this opportunity present itself to her again. Jesus, as far as the Scriptures are concerned, never walked through Bethany again. Never. It was over. Let me say something. If you're here this morning and the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, this may be the last time. Jesus may never trouble your heart again. This could be a once in a lifetime opportunity. Don't let it pass by. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian and God is speaking to your heart about what you should do and you're sitting here and you're wrestling with God's Holy Spirit about what it is that He's wanting you to do and about what it is that you're wanting to do and they're just not lining up, this could be once in a lifetime opportunity that you let pass by. It's the difference in response. It's the difference in responsibility. See, when this opportunity presented itself, Mary took advantage of it and she experienced a once-in-a-lifetime blessing. I mean, you put yourself in her shoes. As soon as she loosened the seal on that box and she took that ointment and began to pour it on the head of Jesus and she began to listen to the voices of her critics and she began to watch their body language. Can you imagine Mary just kind of sinking back, just kind of shrinking back, thinking maybe this was a mistake? But I want you to look at what Jesus said. She's done what she could. You let her alone. You let her alone. She's done what she could do. See, she had this one lone chance. She had this one opportunity. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. She listened to God's Holy Spirit. And even though that the critics came out of the woodwork and began to attack her, she didn't allow that to affect her reason for what she did. Listen, she loved Jesus with her whole heart. She loved Jesus. When you take it and you put the nuts and the bolts together and you build the one building that it's going to make, it was just this one thing. That old girl loved Jesus. Now I want to ask you, when folks look at you one of these days, they say, that old boy right there, now he loves the Lord. Or do they just say, well, he goes to church? There's a difference in loving the Lord and just going to church. There's a world of difference. World of difference. When they looked at Mary, they said, man, that old girl loves Jesus. She surrendered everything that she had. She surrendered everything that she was. She surrendered everything that she hoped to be to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is looking for those even today about whom He can say they have done what they could do. God's looking for people. God's looking for a church. He's looking for a place that will do everything that they can do. So you've got to understand, and this, and if we don't get anything else, you're not taking a thing out of this world with you. You're not taking a thing out of this world with you. You're going to leave it all behind. The Bible says we're supposed to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Our investments are supposed to be made into glory. Our investments are supposed to be made there. See, our area of service is supposed to be what we can do to make sure we take just as many with us as we can. There's the area of sacrifice. The second thing was the area of service. And the third thing this morning of the three I told you that I'd mention is the area of surrender. I want you to notice where Mary was. She was on her knees. People didn't sit at tables like we sit today. Even though that painting of the Last Supper shows Jesus and His disciples seated upright at the table just like we are. They weren't. Tables in those days were about yay high, just long, just high enough you get your legs up and under, and then folks reclined back on their elbows and they ate that way. And so for Mary to be able to pour that ointment on the head of the Master, she had to get on her knees, where she could reach the head. And then after she reached the head, you've got to remember, she had to go around to where His feet were. He wasn't at a table where He could push back and give her easy access to the head and to the feet. But His feet were extended out. So she had to go from one side of the table to the other on her knees to wash His feet with her tears. Folks, listen. Her knees were knelt at the altar of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she gave all that she could. At this one moment of her lifetime, she was making the greatest statement of surrender that she would ever make by kneeling to Him and anointing Him, that she declared her faith to the Lord Jesus Christ as her Messiah. She was telling everyone who saw her do what she did that her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ was real. She was at that moment, she surrendered everything she had to Him in the area of surrender. Her knowledge, listen, we don't know if she knew this or not. We don't know. But Jesus said, "You're anointing Me to the burial." There were only four classes of people that were anointed in that day. Kings were anointed. My Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Priests were anointed. Not only is Jesus the priest, but the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, He's our great high priest. Prophets are anointed. You find that in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 16. And He is both prophet, priest, and king, according to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31. And listen, the dead were anointed. As John listened to the testimony of Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, and he saw that one who had in his possession the keys of death and hell, Christ proclaimed, "I am he who was dead and is alive forevermore." She was in touch with who Jesus was, more than those who were seated around that table with him. She was in touch of what he had done for her and what he meant to her, more than those who walked with him and were his apostles and disciples. She was more in touch, and she understood who Jesus was more than all of them, because listen, she didn't sit there and stand over the top of or kneel over the top of Jesus and think, "Well, you know what, if I do this, I've got to work an entire year to make up for what I'm about to do." From any indication of Scripture, that never even passed through her mind. She wasn't worried about what she lost. She was worried. She was in touch with everything that Christ had given her and that she had gained. Jesus himself said, "What does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" Paul said, he said, "Everything that I have on this earth I count for nothing except but dung, trash, so that I might win and secure the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." That's what Mary knew on this day. See, those three brothers that were plowing out there like oxen, like animals in that field in South Korea understood it wasn't what they gave up. It's what Jesus had already given them. It wasn't about what they lost. It's what God had blessed them with that they could give. It wasn't the opportunity that it took for them to be out there in the sun and the heat and pulling that yoke. It was them saying, "If my master can march up a hill, I can plow on level ground." Sacrifice. Service. And it's surrendered. Have you done like what Christ said here? All that you can do.